B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
I can't think that that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
MASH Wednesday.
Hey, hot lips. All right, Nicholas. Young, sickly Nicholas, who was discovered by his now fiancée covered in feces near death in his bed, who's now washed himself off like a newborn. He has lost weight and now is free of any medical issue. He was out because, Rich, a lot of people don't know this. As it is traditionally known as MASH Wednesday, it is also Ash Wednesday. Now, will you be going and getting the ashes?
Oh, yeah. I'll be doing it. And it's always one of those things, too, where I'm caught off guard. Like, there's times where I've forgotten about it.
And then your mother.
And then you see people like, what the hell's on this guy's head? And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot I'm a bad Catholic.
Now, what are you giving up for Lent?
You know what?
I live a very pious life.
Yes, I am I'm a saint. I would think that usually I try to do more stuff, like, you know, helping out and doing crap like that. But I am going to give up sugar, though. That's the one thing I'm going to give up.
In totality?
No, I mean, there's sugar in regular food, but I'm talking about any kind of, like, added sugar. Anything that's got, like, any kind of sweets, anything like that. And I know it sounds crazy.
So, like, alcohol as well?
No. I'm not going to give up. Here's why I'm not going to give up alcohol, because I've tried to do that in the past. And then when you go out in social situations, like on a weekend, then you're like the a-hole who's not drinking. And you make everyone around you feel weird. And I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So
you're giving up sweets, basically.
I'm basically giving up sweets, yeah.
All right. So I will be giving up nothing, as I am agnostic. But here we go. Nick was out.
Hang on. Can we just... This could be a disaster. I don't know anything about how this turned out. I haven't. As a matter of fact, I got the emails, and yesterday was just one of those days where we went into the other room after the show and just tried to like brainstorm.
We brainstormed for 45 minutes,
and then just the stuff that came out of our heads.
Why would it's my idea? Is it always you don't know how it's going to turn out?
Well, I mean, because driving home, I was thinking of the concept of this bit, and I went, is that really what we told Nick to do?
Yes.
And then when he texted me later on in the day with everything printed out that he was going to say, and I saw it in print, I went, oh, boy.
All right. Well, it was a Fat Tuesday yesterday.
It is. I mean, you know.
So in Fat Tuesday, people wear beads. And you exchange the beads for seeing a little bit of hoochie-hoochie cassabas. So we sent young Nick out.
I mean, listen, Sarge even said it creepily in a commercial.
Yeah, well, Sarge's commercial really should be reviewed. All right, here.
So this is one of the rare bits, Fred, that I did not listen to the audio.
Okay.
I gave it straight to Mike. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to hear this.
I've been told that Nick didn't hit it out of the park. Here's the scene.
I think we should just let it play.
No, but I have to set the scene.
Okay.
So Nick has got a bunch of beads around his neck.
Because it's very festive like that.
Right, because it's Fat Tuesday. And here we are in Boston, and there's a lot of like Irish Catholics and things. And so he's out at the Bruins game. And he wants to see some tatas. So here's what goes on.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
All right, cool. So do you know what today is?
25th.
Pancake holiday. Today's National Pancake Day.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
No. Well, he's just saying that because he knows what's about to come. National Pancake Day. It seems we've killed two birds with one stone, Mr. Flapjack Chest.
25th.
Pancake holiday. Today's National Pancake Day.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
No. It's Fat Tuesday in Boston.
Oh.
How
am
fat?
I a fat guy? Is that what you call me?
No. I'm not saying that, but how would
you... That's kind of a dick move.
I'm sorry, but... but how would you describe yourself?
Bigger gentleman.
You're a bigger
kind of fat.
Okay.
Are you going to give me beads?
Well, no. Wait, I was just... You like these beads?
I'll definitely get beads.
I like them beads.
So Will you flash your boobas?
Yes! Yeah!
All right.
Beat me up!
You're flashing your boobs.
You demanded it.
All right, here you go. Here's some beads. Happy Fat Tuesday in Boston, guys. What? How are you going to celebrate Fat Tuesday for the rest of the night?
Show my boobs.
This is Fat Tuesday. I lost my phone. I lost my wedding band. I'm good to go.
Thank you for flashing your boobs. That was really nice.
March your million son!
It's all in good fun.
So... the concept of the bit, Fred, was what?
You go up to fat guys, you say it's Fat Tuesday, and you offer them beads to show them your boobs. It's Fat Tuesday. And National Pancake Day just happened to fall into it, because he had a couple pancakes resting right there. Saying, what do you want out of me? Give him a little squeeze-a-roo.
Hey, Mike, I want you to roll tape for the Marconis, if you don't mind.
Why, if it's my idea, is it always destroyed?
Not always. When have I ever destroyed one of your ideas?
Today.
And I'm not destroying it.
It's Fat Tuesday. He went out yesterday, and he went up to Fat Guys, and he said, it's Fat Tuesday. He had beads. And if you want beads, I mean, listen, I want the ladies to have a safe ride home. But plump gentlemen... deserve to. deserve to have.
We've already got off the edge, so why not add sound effects?
Wait a second. This is a good bit. He goes up to people with beads, and why should women have all the fun? You know?
It is a good point. We are equal opportunity, if anything.
Yes.
If anything, we're all about equal opportunity. All right, so that...
No, there's another one.
Okay, all right.
All right, so Nick is out.
617-779-0985.
No, stop it. We've done way worse than this. Nick is out with his... What's in the background?
What is that?
There's some word in it. All right, so anyway, Nick is out at the game. He's got beads around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Fat Tuesday, and he's going up to fat dudes and saying, like, hey... if you want beads, there's a price to pay.
Can we use this for the radio?
Sure.
All right, cool. So, do you know what day it is?
February something.
It's Fat Tuesday in Boston.
Yeah, sure.
I'm giving out beads to dudes for them to bump, to dump them out. You know what Fat Tuesday is, right?
Hello?
Something about the election, I don't know.
No!
I mean, have
it's
we
a bad Catholic?
Have we become this secular that people don't even know what Fat Tuesday is?
Ryan Johnson weighing in. Fred comes up with this bit, but he's too ashamed to replay what's happening.
Shame. Shut up, Johnson. Go do minor league hockey somewhere. All right, here we go. I continue. I dare you just cast aspersions on me. Every time you hear Surratt, you slit your wrist. All right, here we go.
Hello?
Something about the election, I don't know.
No, it's... Get your beef!
You know, we're here, it's in Boston, we're doing a Fat Tuesday in Boston. So I'm talking to a few guys. How would you describe yourself?
Show me your
weight. Are you average?
Do you want me to show you my...
I do have these beads. Yeah. I was going to ask. If I give you these beads,
Will I show you my?
Yes, your sweater meets.
All right. See, this guy gets it. Now we're in negotiation. He gets it. He knows what's going on.
And she seemed to be aware of what was happening here.
Well, she wants to get a good peek, too. Why? I mean, she's like, let me get a look at them male jugs. We look at those mail sacks. Let's let loose with the cassabas. Let's make way for the pups.
All right. Go, Double D.
Wait.
Now, isn't it nice to hear women celebrating a man?
It is empowering. I will say that much.
I mean, how easy is it to go, oh, hey, ladies? But now the ladies are getting a chance to look at some man meat.
Mm-hmm.
A little extra flesh.
Sure.
I like the bit.
Oh, stop it. What are you, Soupy Sales?
It's a very good bit, Fred.
Thank you. You're laughing.
If I was a fat guy, I am a fat guy, but if Nick came up to me and said, hey, it's Fat Tuesday, here's beans, shoshin,
let's do it. Let's measure some areolas.
Go, Double D!
Wait.
Yeah!
No, I need more beans.
All right, fine.
Can I stop them out one more time?
All right. Let me see your jugs, man.
Yes, go.
Excuse me, my what?
Your cans. Your chesticles. Oh, very nice. There you go. Yeah. That was beautiful. All right, everyone goes home happy.
Everyone goes happy.
What's happening?
Stop it. Monty, you call it off. And go ahead, Monty.
Hey, man. Fred, you got the best bits. I don't care what anybody says, but this bit belongs to Wallach's mom. You know that.
Yeah, it just, that is true. Yeah,
I got to hit some Mark Davis.
Yeah, let me add them. I don't need beads to show those puppies. Just undo your belt, Wallach's mom, and let's see what's doing.
We are getting really unfairly compared to some other bits. Like somebody said, this is right up there with the Shaughnessy Fro bit. That better be a compliment.
Do you know the Fro?
Do you know the Fro was an excellent bit?
All right.
Where Dan Shaughnessy's Fro was in different places in history. And
That's a good bit. That was just a good bit. So there you go.
I was the classiest carrot top in the press box. So fluffy.
I think that it was set up to fail. But I think it overcame. Murray, you liked it.
I laughed.
You did.
I got it the whole time, though.
Yeah.
Wobble, wobble.
That's what happened when the guys took their shirts off.
Right. The shirt went up and...
Whoosh.
Waltz, Mom, undo your sock and let me see that can.
Undo your sock?
Yeah, they go down to her sock. She's got to tug them in. She gave birth to many children. Gravity's a hell of a thing.
My Fenway fluff.
I like my ladies. Like, I like... I like my ladies. Like, I like my socks. Long with stripes.
Oh, happy Fro Day.
All right, very good. She looks like a yellow-toed sports sock. All right, very good. We will be back with Bert Breer as all the shenanigans is going down at the Combine. We will talk to him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We know what we're going to do, and we still just got to see who else is available. Because you have to do your due diligence, you don't really know who's available until the tags come out and all that stuff, if there's a guy really on the market.
Does Jameis know that you know?
No.
Okay. You want to tell? You look at the camera and tell him.
No, that's okay.
Okay. Text him. You've said before about door number two. Who's behind door number two?
Well, that's the thing. You see all these names. You've never seen a quarterback market with like Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and all these guys that are potentially going to be out there. You don't know what trades might happen. So you really don't know who is behind door number two yet. Then you can make a decision.
Can I try to translate? Jameis is coming back unless there's somebody out there that you might prefer and you think you can get him. If you can get him, whomever that is,
right,
then that is your guy. Am I reading that the right way?
Pretty much it.
MASH Wednesday.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer is a senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He is out in Indianapolis.
That was Bruce Arians, by the way. And you want to talk about just saying, Jameis, we don't watch anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
And the fact that he straight up mentioned names of other players. I mean, if you're the Patriots, you shouldn't be upset that Tom Brady's name's being mentioned at all.
Well, just stating fact. It's on the he's on the Volkswagen expert hotline, Mr. Burt Breer. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Have you been enjoying Indianapolis? Have you been out, rubbing elbows with the greats?
Yeah, I have been. Just two nights. So I don't feel like 100% right now, but I'm still okay.
Okay. So how long are you out there until?
Last night, probably, I don't know. Last night,
No.
Like,
how many days?
How long am I here? I'm here till Sunday.
Okay.
Is this like Tamperpalooza? Yeah. Is everybody basically just talking to everyone about everybody?
That's the way it always is. Like with free agents, with trades, with all of that. Like, you know, agents and teams are meeting, and you know, prominent agents will meet with almost every team. And you know, obviously, there's you know other business with players that might be on your roster existing, but obviously the discussion is going to go in different directions. And most agents, at the very least, you know, have a pretty good idea of what the market's going to be for their prominent clients when they leave here.
All right. So what are some of the rumors that you're hearing about potential free agents?
Well, you know, I think a lot of what's going to happen with the quarterbacks is, you know, going to really sort of hinge on what happens with Brady. If Brady makes the decision to come back to New England, which, you know, I think is going to hinge on Bill and Tom sitting down and face-to-face having a discussion with one another, you know, then the movement might not be, you know, crazy. Then I think you probably have, you know, the Bucks and maybe Colts looking at Phillip Rivers, and whichever team doesn't get him, then you know the other one maybe goes and gets a rookie, and then you have like maybe a Winston, you know, going to somewhere like the Raiders. And the movement won't be that crazy. If Brady does leave New England, then I think that sets off a chain reaction where you have players going to different places. And I think it actually behooves everybody. This is going to sound weird, but Tom Brady's tampered with this week, because the more of an idea of Tom Brady, the more of an idea Brady has of what his market is, I think the easier it is for everybody to kind of get an idea of what it's going to look like in a few weeks.
Okay, are there any quarterbacks at the collegiate level, anyone that's out there that is going to affect free agency in terms of quarterbacks? Is there anyone out there that teams believe is a home run and they would take over a veteran? Burrow's, because I think the more he's out there, the less attractive he becomes. Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't think, like, so really to me, there are probably two quarterbacks that are good enough to prevent, you know, a team from going and making a splash with a big name veteran. And those two are Burrow and Tua. And those two guys are going to go so early. I don't think they're going to affect the teams that would be involved with the veteran quarterbacks anyway.
Right.
So I'm not saying it's not going to affect anything, you know, but, you know, if Tampa's involved or Indianapolis is involved with the big name veteran quarterbacks, you know, I think if they lose out, they're not going to be in a position to get Burrow or Tua. And so then it just turns into one of those teams maybe looking at, like, you know, Jordan Love or Justin Herbert after failing to get one of the veterans.
All right. What is the value of Tannehill that you're seeing out there? Do people believe in him?
Yeah, I mean, like the Titans do. And I don't think the Titans, I mean, if the Titans don't wind up with Brady, I think that, you know, Tannehill's going to be back with the Titans. And so, you know, I think he's either back with Tennessee if they don't get Brady, or he's going somewhere maybe as a piece to compete with someone else. And he's the one that I look at and say, okay, like if the Raiders are going to bring in competition for or a replacement for Derek Carr and it's not Brady, maybe that's where he lands.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's kind of, I haven't even heard that before. And Arians yesterday, it was weird because, I mean, for this whole time, there was the Chargers talking that he just comes straight out and mentions Tom Brady's name. Just from what you know, we can't really take that seriously. Like, I don't see Tom Brady going to Tampa, do you?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think the system fits him great. You know, the system actually that Arians runs probably fits Rivers a little bit better just because they are, you know, a downfield offense. Yeah, and that offense, if you look at it, you know, has always required players to take big hits. So Arians, you know, whether it was, you know, Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers, Andrew Luck with the Colts, Carson Palmer with the Cardinals, like he's always wanted a big body quarterback. And the reason why is because they do put their quarterback out there a little bit more, and the quarterback is going to take some punishment. So I think he may like the idea of Brady, and obviously he said his name yesterday. I'm not sure that would be the right fit from Tom's perspective.
Okay, so the reports are that Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, is going to meet with the Patriots this week. Have you heard anything about this potential meeting? Has it already happened? What do you know about what each side's going to be?
I don't know whether or not it's happened. I'm not sure that's even the important one because I'm not sure that this is going to come down to money. I mean, I think the Patriots are smart enough where they're not going to throw something insulting Tom Brady's way. And I think that the money part of it, I think, is going to be workable. To me, this is going to be about, you know, under which terms Brady returns. And by that, I mean, obviously, non-monetary terms. And I think this is really going to come down to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady sitting down face-to-face. And I think Brady's willing to return to New England under certain terms. I think Belichick's willing to have Brady back under certain terms. And those two guys need to figure out whether or not one thing meshes with the other. If it does, great. Then I think there's a really good chance he's back. If it doesn't, then, you know, I think it, you know, behooves everybody to know a little bit earlier so you have an idea of what's going to happen. And I don't think the Brady-Belichick meeting would happen, you know, while he's here in Indianapolis, while Belichick's here in Indianapolis. So, you know, the earliest that would happen next week.
All right. So if we go down the roster of the Patriots, what do you think the market is for McCourty? Do you see the Lions being a big player in that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the teams out there, and there are three of them now that, you know, have, you know, a real Patriot influence on defense, in, you know, the Lions and the Giants and the Dolphins. I think for any of those teams, the idea of bringing in somebody like Devin, who can be, you know, captain for you and can kind of, like, you know, set the tone culturally for you and have a need at the position, I think would be valuable. And, you know, generally, like, you would look at somebody like McCourty and he's in his third contract and maybe you wouldn't think he'd get big money. I would have said the same thing about Earl Thomas last year at this time, and he wound up getting $14 million per year. And so the market's really moved at the safety position where he had multiple guys, Kevin Byard, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. You have multiple guys get up into that, you know, $13, $14 million a year neighborhood. And so I'm not saying he's going to get there, but the market's really moved at that position. And, you know, this is probably going to be Devin McCourty's last big bite at the apple financially. And so it wouldn't totally shock me if one of those teams put something out there that the Patriots might have trouble matching.
Okay, well, now I got to ask you. You mentioned the safeties. Joe Douglas comes out, says, wants Jamal Adams to be a Jet for life. What's going to happen, baby?
It's a good question, Fred. He's eligible for a contract for the first time, so it wouldn't surprise me if they wind up signing him this offseason. You know, obviously he was frustrated at points last year, and he personally was sort of part of what drove the trade talk. And so I think the Jets are willing to pay him to keep him. He's one of the few pieces left from the last regime that's, you know, really, I think, you know, looked at in that building as a guy who's going to be there long term. You know, we'll see whether or not he's willing to stay.
Are people split on Burrow or Tua, or is Burrow the consensus number one?
Well, because of health, he's the consensus number one.
You know, I think there are teams that look at the tape and they actually like Tua a little bit better. The thing is that it's not just the hip injury. Like, durability is a big deal when you're drafting a quarterback that high. And I know it sounds like, okay, like, well, he's doing good now. Maybe he's past this. But if you look at the history over the last 10 years, I mean, pretty much every quarterback drafted in the first round that came into the league with significant injury history got hurt again. Sam Bradford in 10, Jake Locker in 11, Robert Griffin in 12, Marcus Mariota in 15, Carson Wentz in 16, Deshaun Watson in 17. All those guys had, you know, significant injuries in college, and all those guys got hurt again in the pros. And so, you know, Tua's injury issues, even if things come out clean this week on the medical, they won't be completely clean, but things look encouraging in the medical. You know, there's still going to be teams that are going to look at him and say, we can't trust that he can stay healthy, so we're going to put Joe on top of him. And I mean, really, it's sort of a moot point anyway, because, you know, Joe Burrow goes first overall. There's only one team that's going to be making that decision.
Okay, finally, Bert. So the Browns, Andrew Berry yesterday came out and he was asked about Odell Beckham Jr., whether he'd be open to trading him. Obviously, there's been a lot of people talking about that the Patriots might want to bring him in here as an enticement to keep Brady around for maybe shorter money. What are you hearing as far as his... I mean, because there's always a possibility that Odell Beckham Jr., if he hears that there's another team that might want him, like the Patriots, that he could be that guy and try to fire his way off the team. What are you hearing about the situation between Odell and the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Browns will certainly listen. And I think part of that is, you know, they've got a first-year head coach who's only coordinated for 1 year in Minnesota. And, like, giving him the locker room that Freddie Kitchens had last year is sort of saddling him with a lot. So I think the Browns are going to listen to, you know, teams who offer them, you know, something significant for Odell Beckham. Do I think he's the right fit for the Patriots? You know, program-wise, not really, you know, but if you are as veteran a group as you were last year, and you do have, you know, the older defense that you had last year, I think your locker room can probably handle it. So I think that's one of those things where, to me, like, you know, one of the olive branches would be to Brady, listen, like, we're going to talk to you about potential guys to bring in. And so I think that could wind up being something that you could discuss with Brady when you're talking about, you know, the terms under which he'd return.
Yeah, you see, I think this meeting that they're having this week is more about that. Like, what's your plan? I don't even think it's as much about money as it is, hey, we are trying to make him happy by getting him what he wants, and that's people that he can throw to. And I think that it's more, here are the guys that we are going to speak with. Here's kind of our plan. We just want to know where your head's at. We want to make sure that if we do land one of these guys, that Brady will commit with us, so we don't go down this road and make a trade for someone like Odell Beckham Jr. and then Brady doesn't end up, you know, coming back to the Patriots.
Right, and if Brady's back, it's going to sort of, I think, swing a lot of those decisions. Where, you know, we've talked about this, like, where they, you know, at the end of the year, of the 11 starters on defense, 9 of those guys are going to be 29 or older by the start of next season. And so it's a very old defense. Obviously, you've got some older pieces on offense, too. Julian Edelman's going to be 34. Marcus Cannon's going to be 32. You know, and so, you know, what you do with all of those guys, I think, sort of determines how you approach Tom Brady and whether or not you see him as, you know, an ideal guy to move forward with.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to lose, like you said, they're going to lose McCourty. They're very old on defense. Their offensive line is old, and they're going to lose their best offensive lineman. They don't have any skill position players outside of Edelman. I don't know. I don't know what bringing an Odell Beckham Jr. as how that even moves the needle.
Well, and that's the thing is, so it's like if you bring in Odell, it's like you're probably committing to bringing a lot of the older guys back, and then the question becomes, is your window still open with those guys?
Right.
Or is what we saw at the end of the year sort of a sign where things are going?
Right. So you, because I've been crushed for this sentiment, but I believe that if they stick with Brady and this veteran group, that in order to rebuild after Brady's done is going to take far longer than if they move past Brady now.
Right, right. I mean, it's a weird situation to be in, because I think if you had, like, sort of where they were in 2009.
Right, where they had
If you had them at 30 years old, right, like then, or whatever it was at the time, at 32, 33 years old,
you can legitimately say this may take a year or two, but we're fine ripping the Band-Aid off because we're going to have a, you know, a whole another opportunity to build a team around him. Whereas now it's like, if you rip the whole thing down, it's, you know, all right, like now we really got to look at moving on at quarterback, because by the time, you know, we have this whole plan played out, you know, Tom Brady's probably not going to be around anymore.
Right. And then you're going to have to replace everybody on your team. So
right.
There you go.
Right.
All right. Bert Breer from Indianapolis, get some more sleep, go out, rub elbows, you know, you're the chief content strategist, to make yourself be known.
All right. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate that.
All right. There you go. Very good. What do you think, Murray? You rip the Band-Aid off now, or do you give it a go?
Give it a go.
All right. There you go.
You're only one season removed from winning a championship. That team, either as old as they were one of the best defenses in the league for all until they fell apart at the very end.
Yeah, until they played someone good. But I will tell you this, is that I'm fine with that, because it is going to be delicious when it all comes down. It's going to be like Riverfront Stadium when they imploded it. And you're going to be looking around and you're going to go, I have a 38-year-old safety. I have my left tackle is 45 years old. And you're going to have to replace everybody.
You have no faith in the best coach in the game and a damn good GM in the game.
Okay, what are they going to do? Who are they drafting?
How
are they
going ahead? Fred, you're playing checkers.
All right. Well, then start
Bill's
trading.
Playing Canasta.
Well, then start acquiring some picks then. Because life ain't going to be easy. And I don't think this team competes for a Super Bowl next year. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
MASH Wednesday.
Suicide is painless. 98.5, the Sports Hub. John Wallach is not here. I will let it be known right now as we stand on the great day of the 26th of February. I have been out twice due to illness, and Wallach has been out once due to illness. And Rich has not been out due to illness, so let's put that on the record. And I would like the audience now to explode on speculation as to why Wallach is out, as they do every time that I am not here. So and it's not just after Scott starts talking. He's got something jarred in people's heads. But there is a million things. You know, am I in rehab? Have I gotten in a car accident? I mean, like, there's a bunch of crap that comes out every time I'm sick.
You know why they do it to you and no one else?
Why?
Because it pisses you off.
All right. Well, you know, no one cares if John's not here. That's why it doesn't happen.
And even if they John doesn't say anything, you know, but when you get called out, you go off.
Well, I don't think it's right. So John has been out. Now John is one behind me, which is, and you know what? I bet you he's out tomorrow. And then that will be tied. Go ahead, Dan.
Could we qualify John going off on these trips to do games when he's not doing the show? And I know it's...
If we go by not doing the show, I mean, he had a...
Because he jumped out to go to New Orleans.
That's not his choice. That is the station that gets all that.
No, it's his choice.
Oh, it's his choice, Rich.
It's his choice.
Well, the station says you have to fly out this day.
He had that dumb surgery that kept him out for a month and a half.
I mean, yeah. Damn him for getting that tumor.
I'm the only one who doesn't miss long amounts of time on this show, and I don't think I get credit for it.
Are you really want credit for... Okay, so we should be looked down upon because I was with my wife who had cancer, and John had a tumor in his ear.
No. I'm not saying you should be looked down upon. I say, I should say, I've never missed a long,
You should not be penalized. Don't look down on other people, Fred. Yeah, you should not be penalized.
I should not be penalized. Thank you. Should not be penalized. John, with that dummy ear thing, he didn't need to be.
Oh, and he still doesn't pay attention. Yeah, but when he came back, he's
deaf. He was deaf.
It's because he's deaf.
It was a benign tumor.
Pay attention. That is an insensitive thing to say.
It's the worst.
How dare you say that? It was a benign tumor. He could have just left it there. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, you know what, guys? Fred, you're the reason he's not there. If I had to look at your ugly mug every day, I would want to call out at least once a week.
You know what you are? You're like ox. You're like a big brute. You couldn't. Nah. You're sitting there. Yeah, right. You couldn't get Kelly if your life depended on it.
Listen, I got a beautiful wife. I don't need Kelly.
Oh, yeah, right. Like, she's like Kelly. You probably end up with Tori Spelling.
She likes you. What's the problem?
Huh?
She likes you.
What?
My wife likes you. I don't like that.
She likes me?
She does.
What the hell's wrong with her? Tell her that. All right, you're the most Boston person I've ever heard.
By the way, somebody has started the TNR illness tracker.
Thank you. Just as so long as we know.
Line two, there is somebody who wants to weigh in.
All right, Mr. Scott, hello.
Where the hell's Wallach at?
He claims to be ill.
Yeah. What the hell is in that damn suitcase he carries around everywhere, too?
I haven't noticed. He has a suitcase?
Yes, and he puts it on a chair. You don't notice it?
The company computer.
Okay, all right, here's the deal. Scott has a great point. So when we first started, remember what Wallach would eat?
Oh, he would dip cheese in mayonnaise or something like that.
Cheese and ranch.
Oh,
and I sat there and I didn't know him. And I'm like, this stops now.
Yeah, this is. I can't look at you doing.
Like, it's the most. He took cheese, like whatever the
cheese stick.
I don't eat them.
Dip it into ranch.
Ranch.
Eat
them right there in front of me.
So much white.
And then he.
What are you for?
No, it's like the goyish thing. The most goyish thing to eat. And then he turns around. And he has to put his bag on a chair like a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he gets all weird when I come in and touch the chair. Well, let me sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
Got, like, big bag there.
Exactly, because he has to put his bag on a chair. Like, he has to do it. And it's.
Well, that's because it's. And then he puts that stupid one earpiece in and the other one out, so he listens to what everybody's saying about him.
Right. Well, listen.
Well, no, it's because his one ear isn't working.
Oh, it's a hell of a contraption that all of a sudden he can hear one thing out of both ears. All right. Henry, go ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Hi, Henry. Oh, Mr. Rollins.
Henry Rollins, how are you doing, sir?
Back in the mid-80s when Flag was playing 320 dates a year, every now and then you miss a day. The van breaks down. Someone hits you with a tire iron. Your history teacher punches you in the chest. Whatever the case may be. So, Fred, if you need a day, you take a day.
Thank you, Henry Rollins. We appreciate it. At Haagen-Dazs with Ian MacKay. I'm sure that they had problems showing up.
Sure. We were scooping that ice cream in D.C.
I mean, can you imagine walking into that Haagen-Dazs?
Most intimidating Haagen-Dazs in the world.
Little Henry Rollins and Ian MacKay. All right, so, Rich, what's going on?
All right, should we take a break?
No, we got 3.5 minutes.
Okay, so speaking of people being sick, on top of the Red Sox, it being announced yesterday that this whole nothing to see here investigation continues to go on and on and on to the point where it was supposed to be announced last week what was happening, and then they said, oh, no, we got to talk to a few more players. So then it was supposed to be this week. John Heyman said, nope, here's the deal. It's going to be next week. And as Dan Shaughnessy so eloquently wrote in his tweet yesterday, this is 1 week less than what the Astros had, and you saw what they ended up getting punished with. So this could be big. But on top of that, Fred, did you hear about what happened to one of their newer players they just brought in? A prospect.
Yes.
Just came in from Taiwan.
Yes.
And they immediately quarantined him.
Yes.
Over the coronavirus concern.
Yes. Yes.
So he arrived in Florida last week, ready to go for spring training. But instead they said, here's the deal. You're staying in your hotel room and you're not coming out. On his Facebook page, this guy's name is, I'm going to pronounce it wrong. It's Chi-Yung Liu, I think.
And how dare you?
And he wrote on his Facebook page that he's being delivered 3 meals a day. doing some weight training in his room, and they said that he is able to get out for an occasional run, but he has to immediately go back into his room. Otherwise, he's spending his time online, quote, watching information about the team and reading.
Well, I mean, this coronavirus seems to be a pretty hot topic. Pretty exciting to be leaving the country.
Dude, there are
2 weeks from tomorrow.
There's towns in Italy now, because it's spread to Italy. There's towns in Italy where they will arrest you if you leave the village. It's gotten so bad. They're trying to keep people all in one spot.
So what's the deal? How is this going to end?
Syracuse is what? What did you say, Dan?
Syracuse University has 350 students studying abroad in the city of Florence, and they're all getting recalled back to school immediately.
By the way,
they're all going to call the soccer games.
How much longer do you
wait?
They'll
be on ESPN next week.
That's right.
How long do you wait until the Olympics are canceled?
You got to wait until what everyone's trying to say is if this thing calms down, if it gets warmer, that's when you start to say, well, maybe. Olympics, what, August?
Wait, why is it? Because it's cold. What is
that's one of the prevailing theories, is that the virus may not be able to survive in you know, if the temperature gets warmer as the season changes.
I mean, just drink some milk.
I mean, Fred, we talked about it real quick, though. The health minister in Iran was at a press conference yesterday telling people not to worry about coronavirus, sweating bullets, and he now has the coronavirus.
He walks off stage.
Did you hear that Trump's doctor, who's in good favor with him, his ex-doctor, used to cut up cauliflower and put it in his mashed potatoes?
Right, just to make him eat healthier. Kind of like wasn't there like a cookbook for kids that came out with how to make your kid eat peas?
We used to make brownies with spinach in them.
Sure.
So he won't get it. So this is something I should worry about when I leave the country, I suppose.
We're at the point, yes.
Well, maybe I'll wear one of those masks and I'll never catch it.
I guess there's going to be a shortage on masks as well.
Oh, well.
That's another thing that's coming out.
They're saying they need 300 million of them for healthcare workers, and right now the supply is 30 million.
Well, they have hazmat suits on where the places where they're, I mean, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the flu, give me a break. Billy Jaffe's here. He doesn't have a hat on. He's real bald. We'll be right back.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Toucher and Reed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.